Welcome everybody to another Aries Working Group call. This is the Aries A call, which is America morning, Europe afternoon. I want to overlap with our European colleagues. We've had a lot of interesting conversations on the last Indie Contributors call and in Rocket Chat and in-person Sovereign Foundation office about how we want to progress the Aries Shared Libraries. And that work's really heating up. We've got a lot of people working on stuff, and I'm excited to collaborate on that together with all of you today. So that's the main purpose. So I want to make sure people who haven't been in those conversations get looped into all the details, and then we can move forward on stuff. So that's the main goal. I'll put into the Zoom chat a link to the wiki for anybody who's on the call, so you can find the agenda. And as usual, you know, we want to be nice to each other, follow the code of conduct. We want to do the, make sure we follow the law around antitrust. We want to follow Troy's example and add ourselves as attendees to the calls so that we have an idea who got what information.
No shaming, Richard.
That's not shaming. That's complimenting Troy's example. Always a good example. There's a survey. The Hyperledger takes serious that we want to have an inclusive and diverse community. We generally pride ourselves in being nice people, and we want to make sure that we believe we have better ideas when we arrange of opinions represented. So we want diversity. So please fill out the survey. It took like 2 minutes, but it helps highlight any problems that people are seeing in the community so that we can get in the sense of how we're doing in now and over time. Anything else you want to say about the survey? I don't know who added to the agenda, but it was good to add. I skipped. Just after I'm talking about the nice inclusivity, introductions. Anybody new on the call want to introduce yourselves?
I'm Echo.
Echo, your mic is really quiet.
Yeah. Oh, no. Hold on.
Sometimes it takes Zoom a minute to auto-adjust the volume.
Is that better?
Yes, much.
Okay. So, I'm Echo. I'm recently joined Evernim. And, yeah, going to be on these calls.
So I'm excited Echo joined our team. She'll be representing the Evernim team in the Western Hemisphere for our contributions back to Aries and Ursa and Indy. So work on the Sovereign Foundation stuff, all that kind of thing, Sovereign Network. Anybody else want to introduce yourselves? I know it takes a minute to come off mute, so looking at the attendee list. Oh, thank you for adding IIW. The Internet Identity Workshop end of April is a great opportunity for everybody to get together and talk all things identity. That's in California. Of course, the Hyperledger Global Forum is next week. I didn't put it down as a formal announcement because if somebody didn't know, they're probably not traveling to Phoenix by Monday. But anybody who will be there, I would love to meet you in person. I'll be hosting some of the Bird of a Feather tables, and I'll be at the Project Kiosk. And we'll have a number of members of this group will be at the Hyperledger Global Forum next week. In fact, we should say that. Any other announcements? Anybody else wants to introduce themselves? Okay, let's talk about related calls. Sam, how's the DidCom going?
It's going well. We have discussions and PRs that will be approved this week. Initial content sections, and so it's worth taking a pass over there and PRs if you're interested in seeing what's going on.
Excellent. And of course, we have the Identity Implementers Working Group call. That's a great opportunity on every other Thursday to get a sense of the entire project. And then the Aries B call happening a few hours from now, where we overlap with our buddies in Australia and New Zealand. There's been a lot of good conversation there. You can check out the recordings. The release status, we're not going to go into as much detail on many of these things because we do that in the B call as well. And I want to make sure we have a lot of time to talk about Aries Shared Libraries. But I know Troy's really good at keeping his stuff up to date on the Aries Framework Go. Anything you want to highlight, Troy?
Working on the next release this week. The JavaScript APIs now support the WebAssembly and the REST controller with a common API, and we're working on the verifiable credential controllers.
Excellent. And anybody who is not familiar with the Aries Framework Go, the recording from the last Aries A call 2 weeks ago, Troy gave us a demo, great presentation. Highly recommend people check that out. Looking for the protocol test suite's been making progress. I know Jack has made progress on the Ruby. I see somebody, Steven, you want to tell us about the Cloud Agent Python?
Yeah, we're likely to push a 0.4.3 release shortly. There's an update for the TAA that was recently activated on the Sovereign BuildNet. That's, I think it was BuildNet and maybe test, I'm not sure. But anyway, we want to get that out there. Daniel Bloom contributed, he played with that and worked on it and contributed an update that we think is important to get out to the community. So 0.4.3 is likely to go out pretty quickly. And related to that, we had a question for you, Richard. Has there been a indie SDK release lately that had that fix that Ian did? The performance fix for the very large wallet.
So the next Indie SDK release is scheduled for Friday, Thursday. Okay. I don't know, Sergey, where's the status? But I remember Ian's pull request, but I don't know the status of it being accepted. I think it got accepted. Sergey, do you have an update on that?
Yeah, it was accepted, I think, in a week from the ResNet PR. And I'm not sure. Probably it's already included in the previous one release. I'll double check.
Okay. Okay, we'll check on that. Thank you. We had a question on from one of our team members on that. Thank you. We'll follow up.
Yeah.
Thanks.
If you find that quickly, Sergey, you can post that in Rocket Chat and get that answer. But yes, we do expect an Indie SDK release tomorrow. What day is today? Today's Wednesday. We expect it on Thursday. But it's a fairly light release. It's some bug fixes. We've been busy with some of these long-term projects with rich schemas and things. So that's what I give an update on. Number of other things on this list around Aries Toolbox, Stack Agent Python. Anybody want to talk about those, or should we? People can go find the information on Rocket Chat if they have questions. Anybody else, any other updates people want to give?
Actually, I do want to do a quick update on AriesFramework.net. There was a release done that brings that framework in line with, I believe it's RFC 0094, I think it was, that had an issue with, that both ACAPI and .NET had an issue with forward messages and the handling of one of the parameters in the forward message. And so that went out last week, and it was included in their releases of their mobile agent. So that release was done last Thursday, and all of that is now in the past, and we don't ever want to revisit that.
Thank you. Thank you for that update. That's exciting. So that brings, theoretically, ACAPI, libvcx, and Aries.net, AriesFramework.net are all compatible speaking Aries protocols now. The next release of StreetCred my guess is because it's built on this, then that should be compatible, and the next release of Kinect.me should also be compatible. So that exciting times for our community. That's so cool. See, Sergey put the answer to Steve's question in the chat that it was part of the 1.14.2 release of NDSK, so that was a month ago. Any other, somebody else was trying to talk, give an update on something. Okay. So thank you for the updates. It's great to see a broad set of progress. Now, chunk of the call, Alex is in Utah with me, and we were able to go to the Sun Foundation and work together with Brent and Alex, and I were able to work with Ken on rich schemas and Mike and team. And it's great to see that making significant progress. However, we're hitting some roadblocks. Now that we have W3C verifiable credentials in Indy, Indy on the ledger, the next step is getting that up the stack, where we have a bunch of Aries, the libindy is getting broken up into Aries shared libraries. Where do we put that? How do we handle CICD for these artifacts? So we have a number of items coming out of that need. So what I want to spend the bulk of the conversation on is, what's the status for your schema, so everybody's informed, because it should be, I'm excited. I think it's going to be really valuable for people building on these Aries shared libraries. It has some nice capabilities that people who are like the Go framework will want to be aware of. And then we need to talk about, for the Aries shared libraries, how we get those ready to receive the encodings and the proof presentations that go into rich schemas, how make some decisions about CICD. And then specifically how we handle the credential exchange piece. We want to make clarify that and resolve so that we have, I think at this point, there's four people working on this pretty consistently. So we want to make sure they're all unblocked. So that's the key point of conversation. Ken, would you mind giving us an update on rich schemas?
Yeah, we had some great meetings all day yesterday and went through and evaluated some of the sticky points in the architecture and then laid out some next steps. So to bring you up to date on some of the progress that has been made in the last week or so is that we've moved from having individual handlers in the node code to having a consolidated handler to take all of these rich schema objects and anchor them to the ledger and retrieve them from the ledger. So now we have a single consistent way to get these objects on and off the ledger. The code is simpler and is able to do it in a consistent way with pretty strong guarantees. And as a result of that, though, we have had to change some of the shape of the objects so that they fit these new common calls, and we need to update the pipes and RFCs to reflect the changes there. That should be fairly straightforward. Probably have that done within the next week or so. The most complicated piece that's coming up is to define the presentation definition, and that is going to be put into two different phases. We're going to do a very straightforward phase where the presentation definition, although it could be more capable, we are going to try to make it replicate the functionality of the current proof definition so that you're able to do the same things that you were able to do in terms of specifying which attributes will be revealed, which ones will be hidden, and then do the predicate proofs that are all supported in the non-creds 1.0. After that, we will go into working more closely with the folks at the DIF to extend the definition of the presentation so that it can be include things like groups and selection lists and things like that, so that there's a more complex and rich environment for the presentation definition. The protocols for exchanging issuance and for presentation are largely going to be left the same as they are right now. However, our current RFCs have some mention of a little bit too much detail of the old style methods. And so we're going to adjust those RFCs by either coming up with a new RFC to specify the new exchange mechanism or putting in pull requests against those older accepted RFCs. I'm not sure which is the correct strategy in our community to make that clear that we're doing some new and interesting things. My initial reaction is to create new RFCs that describe the new version of that exchange protocol, but they will be, largely the same as the last ones. A couple of things that need to be done are to put together the Indy VDR implementation so that we have a ARIES module that can talk to the Indy ledger to perform the requests with the node code to get that stuff on and off the ledger. The next piece after that would be to get the CredEx implementation done, and that could be either done as an Indy CredEx or as a ARIES CredEx. Most of the things that we're going to be doing with the creation of these W3C compatible credentials could be used by other ledgers, and so it could be developed either in the Indy CredEx implementation, or it could be put in an ARIES one directly. That's a little bit of a debate on how what the appropriate path forward is there. We don't want to be blocked. So if it looks like there's going to be a lot of discussion on that, we'll do it in an Indy CredEx implementation and then migrate it to ARIES as the discussion calms down and we're able to come to consensus on how to do that. We're shooting for a couple of milestones. The first milestone would be able to issue a credential, which is the compatible with the W3C format and is capable of doing ZKP style signatures. Other proof formats should be interchangeable. And so if we substitute a non-creds 1.0 type signatures for a non-creds 2.0 type signatures, that should be compatible with the overall methodology there. We could support other style signatures as well, such as JOT or JSON LD type signatures as well. Those are would be potentials for future development compatible with that code. The second milestone would be to take care of the presentation side, and the most difficult object there is the presentation definition. Although I think that we can get an early one done with, like I said, the compatibility with the features and functions of the old style credentials fairly soon, and then we'll focus on the extension of that afterwards. And timeframes for this look like sometime in the next, for the first milestone within about 4 to 6 weeks, having that complete, maybe sooner. And then immediately after that, and in parallel with that, we'll have some work going on the presentation definition so that we may be able to, within 4 to 6 weeks after that, have the presentations all complete for that first milestone, that first presentation milestone. So that's a summary of where we are right now. We have a number of people working on it. I think we have Mike, Adam, and Ken from the foundation focused on this, and we have four people from DSR who are actively going to be working on it, and others helping to manage the effort. So we're get significant effort and contribution towards this to happen.
Yeah, thanks, Ken. I realize that for people who are new on the call, we should probably describe what Rich Schemas is and why it's exciting. Can you give the 2-minute version? I know we gave a presentation. I was looking for it, but I don't remember how long ago you presented in the ARIES working group about it.
The idea with the Rich Schemas is to enable complex structures. Our current Indy style signatures are based on a list of attribute names with no significant typing capabilities for those to know how to perform the encodings without implied encodings that are understood by both the issuer and the verifier. So we're trying to bring in complex schemas like those hosted at schema.org or other organizations that publish standard schemas, anchor them to the ledger so they're immutable for the credentials that are issued so that you can track back the properties of any signed attribute, confirm the way it was encoded, and get complete end-to-end secure, verifiable signatures on all of those items and be able to do better predicate proofs on them as well, because you can describe the encodings of how the objects are consistently encoded. Therefore, you can do comparisons against them with the predicate style proofs. That's the objective. It does involve bringing in new types of objects that help define a schema, that those two objects are contexts and schemas, and schemas can contain other schemas, so you have a hierarchy of elements that can be described. The other objects that are required are an encoding object that describes the transformation of a property's value into an attribute in a credential that can then be signed. That way the attributes are all 256-bit integers, which are compatible with the signatures that the CL signature scheme uses today, and that AnonCreds 2 will also be capable of signing. That encoding object needs to be correlated with the schema objects, and so the thing that does that correlation is a mapping object that describes which field in a schema you're going to be including in the credential from the raw data, and what type of encoding is going to be used with it. It's a fairly simple object that describes that mapping process. And then we'll need an update to the credential definition to refer to a mapping so that you can know what order and what encodings and of a particular source properties are included in your credential. The changes to the credential definition are, like I say, that summarizes the changes that are going to happen there. The actual credential format is W3C compatible, which is a JSON LD object. Brent and I have already produced pilot code that takes old style indie credentials and turns them into W3C compatible representation. That, however, is not really sufficient to unlock the power and potential of more complex schemas. So we're going to take that sample code and use the new style of objects to create more complex credentials that are capable of indie style signatures. On the other side of the coin, on the present verification side, we're creating a new ledger object, a presentation definition that can also be anchored to the ledger so that they can be shared. Those complex objects can then be shared by a particular community of trust that wants to use that object so that they have consistent presentation styles. You can also still store them in the wallet as previously without putting them on the ledger. So the presentation definition will be the mechanism whereby you can define the acceptable properties and attributes that will be included in the final presentation for a verifier. And that's the executive summary of what the rich schemas is hoping to accomplish.
Thank you. And we've been doing most of this collaboration in the Indy project, but now that BCGov has got the Indy VDR taken out of libIndy and is more of an Aries verifiable data registry, we need to figure out the next phase for rich schemas in that plays nicely with these Aries libraries. So that's
so, why a lot of conversations. So the main thing also with those encodings, those are meant to be used by anybody, not just Indy. So that if you wanted, the same thing that was signed under an indie signature could also be signed under any other signature, and you can check for equality. So that's an important distinction because it allows.
Thank you, Mike. That's really helpful. But you said it's an important distinction because it allows, and then you faded. Are you back?
Interrupt. Can you hear me?
Yeah, because it allows interrupt. That's excellent.
Sorry, my Wi-Fi is not so good right now.
That's right. Excellent. So, and that is the value. So the set of features that we've implemented at Ferindi is one way to make it, you know, instantiated. The set of features will be really beneficial to the REST areas community. The other thing is, we've been using the word rich schemas, the phrase rich schemas for the project, but it's really about, you know, being compliant with the new W3C standard for verifiable credentials. So the two go hand in hand. Any questions for Ken or Mike or anybody else working on this project?
I just have a question. Are we going to create the Ares Credex project in Hyperledger, and same with Indy Credex? Can we create both of those? I don't know who's in charge of doing that.
Yes, Mike, that is a topic that we'll cover in just a minute. So I want to make that a discussion topic in just a moment.
Okay.
Excellent. I wanted to check though, specifically with Troy and George and your team, do you have plans for incorporating the W3C verifiable credentials stuff into Ares Framework Go, and how do we build Ares encoding libraries in a way that's useful for you?
We're already W3C compliant with verifiable
credentials. Yeah, we already have that built, so we don't need to import another library.
Okay. Excellent. So this is where we're catching
both up. Formats, by the way, not only JSON LD, but also JOTS.
Okay. Good to understand.
Are you planning to also implement anything using the ZKP style signatures?
We'd love to have a contributor contribute that. So, I mean, it's desirable, but our team is not the zero knowledge proof team.
Excellent. Thank you for that. That was my big question. Anybody else have questions about the rich schemas? Okay, so we'll switch the order. Let's cover Mike's question next. So as Ken explained, one of the challenges is where do we store the credential exchange stuff? I know, Andrew, you were working on an Indie Credex that's bringing Anon Creds 1 out of libindy into its own library. And Ken and Mike were saying that probably is an Ares thing, not an indie thing. Wanted to know what your opinion was on that.
It certainly could be, I think. I was kind of under the assumption that the sort of wrapper around the credential would be an indie specific thing. But I guess if it's a W3C container, then it wouldn't be.
So Mike has already started an Ares Credex that contains the encode and decode functions. And you started, I apologize for skipping the Ares Shared Libraries update, but we can do some of that now. You started your Ares, your indie Credex project as well. Mm-hmm. I guess I have that from the indie notes. Would it make sense to merge those two?
Yeah, we discussed it. I was starting with the Non-Creds 1.0 and then going to look at, because at the moment the Ares Credex library, I think, mainly does attribute encoding. So we could bring that in kind of as a dependency for now to do the rich schema encoding. And yeah, they may or may not be actually combined as a library. I'm not sure.
Mike, did you have thoughts on that?
Sorry, did you ask me a question?
Yes. So Andrew said he was unsure whether they should be combined or not, or one would be dependent on the other. And I was curious what your thoughts were.
I don't want to combine them. I think the Aries credit is obviously
some. Mike, probably best if you typed in what you said in the chat because we can't hear you.
Yeah.
At the moment, so saying CredX seems specific to rich schemas. I wondered about just renaming it to something rich schema specific.
So Mike says he thinks they should be separated in chat.
That's our feeling too, that Indy CredX is going to be pretty tightly wound to Indy, at least at first, and maybe, and the Aries should, it would be nice if the Aries CredX would cover both the Indy stuff, what the Go team is working on, you know, again, that same idea that it's a pluggable implementation that references other ones. I mean, that to me makes more sense.
And because the Indy CredX includes an OnCreds one, which might be less of a broader community implementation, there's also things like the Master Secret implementation that's in there. Well, I suppose that's an URSA primitive. Hard to say.
Ken, what are your thoughts?
I think that definitely the interface definition belongs in Aries for sure. And any of the parts that we can make generic that can be then reused by the broader community should be migrated up into the Aries part. And anything that is completely indie specific should remain in the indie library. And we may get the boundary drawn not quite perfectly on our first go, and then we can adjust it as people feel like there's more functionality that might need to be migrated up into Aries. But I think for rapid progress, we could put a bunch of the new code into the Aries or the Indy CredX implementation and then migrate it up as we go.
What types of things would be Indy specific?
The actual interface to the Indy library might be Indy specific. The generic interface that we should plug that into underneath, that should be completely Aries specific. Some of the credential preparation type things of these objects may start off initially as specific to Indy, and then we can make sure that as we polish them that they're reusable by other communities, that we can then migrate them into the Aries and go with a more slow and thought out process for the migration part of it. That's my thought.
So Richard, you also mentioned that OnCreds 1.0 won't have the W3C container, but I think our goal now for each schema is to implement it for OnCreds 1.0. And later on, we can support OnCreds 2. Just a base, maybe the signature type or some kind of a version.
I should clarify, I only have a vague idea what that means. I just wrote down what Andrew said. So I'm just trying to take notes. So is that statement true? That the first version of Indy CredX would have an Indy specific credential container?
It would be the credential container that we're using in Aries right now. So it's it's what we're using now. It's it does have some indie-isms in it, but I think it's fair to say that as we move forward, we can make it more and more cross-community, and we can even make the container for, Alexander said, we can make it so that it can issue either old style or new style type of credentials, or we can make the new style support Anon Creds 1.0, so it doesn't necessarily have to wait until we have Anon Creds 2.0 to be made into an Aries level thing.
Okay. So my concern for this conversation is that everybody's clear on how Andrew's work and Mike's work and Ken's work overlaps and differs. Are there more questions we need to resolve, or do we feel pretty comfortable with the plan?
I would like to throw out one thing. someone, and I don't know who it was on the conversation, mentioned something about calling a library something to do with rich schema. I really hope we avoid using the term rich schema in any artifacts or anything like that, because then we have to go to richer schema on the next version and really, really rich schemas on the fourth version and so on. So rich schema is kind of a transitional name, and so I hope we don't use it in artifacts. So totally side issue, but I think we should be careful of that.
We're just naming it after Richard Esplin.
I'm glad to contribute my name, if nothing else.
I think the next one is double stuffed.
Double stuffed schemas. That's excellent. Thank you for that point, Stephen. So Andrew, I'm really keen to see your library move into Hyperledger. We talked on the Indie call about it being able to move in. It doesn't have to be perfect to move in, because we're really keen to start contributing some of the W3C verifiable credential work into it. So we're glad to work with you on that.
As you've probably seen, the Indie VDR has been moved over now.
I hadn't seen that. Fantastic.
Okay. There you go.
I'll look up the link for that. Put it in here. That's great. Stephen, I think you were trying to talk to.
I was going to say exactly the same thing. And we'll move. We can move Indie VDR CredX over, and I think that makes sense, Andrew. Is that all right? All we got to do is make sure we add the, the README at the state it's in, and add all the rest of the necessary files. So I think that's reasonable.
Yeah, I'll probably try to move that over around Friday or the beginning of next week.
So I want to throw out there that as we are implementing like the encoding, for example, we are making test vectors. So those of you that don't want to consume Rust or any C callable API like the Go people usually do, you can benchmark your code for functionality compatibility if you pass the test vectors. So we are creating those so that we can have interop.
Who is we, and test vectors for what?
The test vectors for the encoding. That's like me, Brent, and Ken.
Oh, for the Aries CredX framework.
Yes.
Cool. Excellent.
Question, are you also including the W3C test suite? So
do they have it for the encodings?
No, they don't have such beast for encodings.
They have it for the data model.
They do not have any encodings in the data model. So there's no, Mike's talking about testing the encodings of particular attribute values, and that's not actually specified in the W3C data model. So the data model is different. It's testing the shape of the overall credential and what it looks like in its JSON LD representation, but there's no test for the encoding. So these are additional encodings. And I don't know if we have any plans for moving the W3C test suite into our Aries repository.
Maybe encodings is the wrong term, mapping. So Troy, like for example, how do you encode a date as the number of days since 1900? Like that's not specified in the W3C model, or the number of seconds since 1900, as a cryptographic integer. That's what we're talking about.
Okay. And in terms of the shape of the data model, are you guys planning to run against the test suite? So I ask that because the Go framework does. So it would be helpful for Interop if you guys are building another implementation of W3C credentials that we have these common tests.
We should test against the W3C test suite, but it's the test suite is only good at, it's good at one particular thing, and that's making sure that your credential looks like a W3C credential. And I think that we should probably incorporate those tests.
Steven, you came off mute. Did you want to make another point?
Again, I think Ken covered what I was going to say, that we definitely should pull those in, even if they're, you know, not of huge value, we should bring them in because that is the thing that says you're W3C. I mean, encodings would be more a semantic test layer, which is obviously above the data layer that W3C specifies. So I agree that those tests need to come in.
They're both kind of in parallel. The part is that the attribute value signatures and that sort of thing is all an extension point for the W3C data model. So it's in parallel. It's included in the proof section of the W3C data model. But in the test for a W3C compatibility in their current test suite, it says, oh, do you have a proof section? And it goes hardly any deeper than that. And so what Mike is putting together is some tests that at within that signature block, you can verify the methodology that you use to ensure that interoperable encoding methods that transform the property data into an attribute value to be signed are compatible between like Go framework for Aries and our current Indy one.
100%. No, I agree, Ken. I'm just saying that to get the check mark beside the W3C compatible, you have to say that the bits are in the right place, even if you're not saying what the bits are. So that, I'm just saying, we definitely should include it. But I totally agree. We've been dealing with encoding since day one on the project. So I'm hugely supportive of also doing the encodings. I'm not saying we shouldn't, for sure.
Right. I just wanted to point out that they don't overlap very much, but they are both are necessary and kind of perform one for the overall data shape of the credential and the other one for the encodings. And we agree on that, I think.
Excellent. Any other questions about how we want to proceed with IndyCredX, AriesCredX? Looking at Alex, Mike, Ken, Andrew, key contributors to these libraries. Both Andrews. Andrew Nikitin is going to work on this too. Okay, I think we have a good vision then. I pasted in Alex's summary of what Ken was talking about, next steps, so people have a good idea of how we're proceeding. The DIDCOM bit you were talking about, Ken, I had missed that in previous conversations. We need to change some of the DIDCOM stuff as well for rich schemas. Is that correct? Did I understand you saying that?
So there are two RFCs now, one that walks through the choreography of how a issuance occurs, and there's another one that describes the choreography of proof or presentation, and those need to be updated to make sure that the minor changes that in payloads are described accurately. I don't think that there's any change to the choreography. There is a change to some of the descriptions of the objects that are inside, and I think that that's incidental and shouldn't be impactful to the people who have written the protocols already. They may need to say, oh, I have a new object to put in this spot, and I have a new object when I receive it on the other end. But that's the type of, we want to make sure that we're have described that accurately, and that's all that's happening there.
Excellent, thank you. Okay, next topic then. Indy VDR has moved to Hyperledger. We're working on Aries Credex. We expect to have a few other Aries libraries, an Aries utility library with pack unpack things like that. We need to talk about what we're going to do for CI/CD. If I remember right, Troy, you said you're using Azure Pipelines on Aries Framework Go?
We use GitHub Actions for most of the tests, but we also have Azure.
You're using GitHub Actions.
Yeah, we also have Azure Pipelines for the purpose of uploading to CodeCov. I haven't checked lately if GitHub Actions ended up supporting that over the last months, but that's how we ended up with both.
They do. Because I've seen it for Rust. I know it is for Rust, so I assume it probably is for others too.
Yeah, I'll just have to take another look at that, and maybe we can just be using Actions.
That makes sense. Thanks for that update. We have been concerned about how to migrate, how to do CI/CD for these shared libraries. We had previously started using GitLab hosted by the Sovereign Foundation. URSA did that for a while. Hosting a separate CI server is a pain. Indy currently is using Jenkins, and that's gotten rickety over time. So we did an analysis. We discussed this on the Indy Contributors call. The Evernym team prefers GitHub Actions. It sounded like on the Indy Contributors call that most contributors liked GitHub Actions. Sounds like this Kierke team came to a similar conclusion in their analysis. Is everybody comfortable with us just saying these shared libraries will be GitHub Actions unless we have a compelling reason not to? Like in a specific case, the general rule will be we're all using GitHub Actions together.
Works for me, I think.
Excellent. So proposal seconded. Any dissenters?
GitHub takes over the world.
Thanks, Microsoft.
Yeah.
Yep. But I think it's probably the best idea. Yeah.
Excellent. So then the question comes, I guess we'll cover that in an Indie Contributors call, but Andrew will be looking to the author of Indie VDR to work on GitHub Actions CI/CD for that. We're happy to help. I know Andrew, Nikita, and some members of Nikita had looked at it some. We'll be able to assist if anybody needs help with that. Mike will be looking at the author of Aries Credex to do GitHub Actions. And we'll eventually we're going to get the Aries util library put together and we'll take that approach.
Richard, when you do the utils library, are you planning to move to URSA and drop libstodium?
So that would be separate tasks. We've been evaluating, we need to do some more evaluation. In the long term, that would be nice, but we're nervous about doing it too quickly. We want to make sure things are thoroughly tested. Is that fair?
Yeah.
One other thought, Andrew, is we moved away from Jenkins and GitLab towards GitHub Actions. There's some questions about how many architectures we need to support for these things. Mobile artifacts are important for a number of use cases in the Aries and Indie communities. Having some of our conversations, we think it's reasonable to reduce that number of supported devices. We're more interested in getting a pipeline that works than making sure that every pipeline that we previously supported still works. So Andrew, if you feel like you want to reduce that set, I think that's a reasonable thing. And anybody who disagrees should build their own GitHub Action. Does that seem like a fair approach?
Yeah, I think yes.
Excellent. So that lowers...
And also, Richard, I have a question to Troy. Troy, do you have any concerns about using GitHub Actions?
Okay, so it's a bit of a nuanced question, I guess. So again, we just have to fix our CodeCov issue that we had before. In some of our other projects, we noticed that we end up using Azure Pipelines for something that's a really heavy test. So for example, We have a Fabric Ledger backend, and some of our tests end up being on Azure pipelines just because they're so long running. And we parallelize those in Azure pipelines. So there's some limitations to GitHub Actions if you get into really long running or sophisticated as in computationally intensive CI tests.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, I appreciate benefiting from your experience there. Thank you. And we'll be able to, it's nice to hear how you use the two together. We, in our analysis, we found that we thought that was theoretically possible. It's nice to hear that it's practical, that it's possible in practice. And Hyperledger, my understanding is Hyperledger pays for Azure pipelines for us if we need it. Is that correct?
They are for Ursa, so I can't see why they wouldn't for Ares or any other project that's under the Hyperledger umbrella.
Excellent.
So I wouldn't for umbrella.
Very good. So it sounds like we have a plan there. I'm feeling really good. That means we're unblocked. The two concerns I had, making a decision about Indie Credex, Ares Credex, making a decision about shared libraries, both unblocked. I think we move forward quickly. Any other comments, conversation topics on rich schemas? Okay, we have 5 minutes. Any other conversation topics people want to raise today?
Go ahead, Stephen. You go ahead.
I was just going to mention, okay, I was going to mention that Andrew found in working on Credex an interesting capability in Rust that he could wrap a Rust crate basically with a Python specific library that allows him to reference basically a tighter connection between Python and Rust. So instead of using the FFI interface on Rust using the FFI interface and wrapping Python on that, you actually put it beside the FFI, and you can do things like pass references to keys so that you don't have to bring a private key into Python space. You can actually just leave it in Rust and move it between Rust functions within Python. So I don't know a lot about it. Andrew was showing us some stuff and showing the benefits of doing that. So just an interesting thing that was found recently and quite useful. I don't know, Andrew, if you want to say any more. Go ahead.
Sounds like it may be interesting nuance for future even C callable FFI interfaces. I mean that probably we should design an alternative API in C, but it should operate with just raw pointers instead of serialized strings.
Yeah, this was kind of a Python specific implementation, but there's a thing called the buffer protocol, where you can take a memory view of an object, which might be implemented as part of a native extension. And so it doesn't end up copying the memory into the Python virtual machine. So you can have a copy in the Indie Credex library, for example, and move it over to your KMS library. And if both of those are zeroing out memory securely, then there shouldn't be any insecure copies left in memory. I'll add a link to the library.
That'd be great. It was we discussed that on the contributors call on Monday. So people, I thought it was really, really interesting results. People want more information, can watch that recording. Mike asks, can you let me know where your code is that does that? Oh, that's the link you're going to put in, right, Andrew? Andrew Whitehead?
Yeah.
Okay. Very good. 2 minutes left. Any other questions, conversation topics, collaboration topics?
Who brought up Google Tink? I'm just curious.
Oh, yes. So in our next meeting in 2 weeks, we want to talk about the Aries KMS design. Mike has been doing some work on that. And I believe Troy mentioned Google Tink in a previous call. Or no, maybe, I don't remember.
Yes.
Somebody said it's something we should evaluate, but there wasn't a lot of detail.
Yeah, we're using it. And on top of that, we're basing our KMS and secret lock work. Hello?
We heard you. I was just taking notes on it. Sorry.
Sorry, you said you're basing your KMS off of it. Is that what you said?
Our KMS implementations, some of them do take, are based off of Google Tink.
Excellent.
Okay.
So it'll be interesting to discuss the trade-offs between the approach that you're discussing, Mike, and Google Tink and what Indy's done in the past. I'm looking forward to that conversation.
Google Tink, just so you know, is more like a OpenSSL. It's just an encryption library, some key management. That's all it really does.
So it'll be interesting to compare that with Libsodium and Ursa and some of the other approaches we take. Thanks. Okay, well, that is our time limit. I appreciate the conversation. It's fun to collaborate with a wide variety of people on a project that we all care about, so very exciting. Those who are still awake in a few hours are welcome to join the Aries Working Group B call, and I know Sam has an agenda in for that. We can check that out. And I will get the recording to this call posted as soon as it's done processing. So thank you, everybody.
Thanks.